Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, a longtime college football analyst, most recently with First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent's got maybe one of the toughest side gigs in all of these United States at this very moment. He is a voter for the Heisman Trophy, which at this point, Brent, good luck coming up with a top three. I guess at this moment, maybe Carson Beck out in Vegas is the installed favorite, but who the heck knows what that might look like in a couple weeks. And it's going to play into a conversation we're going to have about SEC quarterbacks tonight.
Yeah, that's good timing. No doubt about it. It's way too early to be able to figure this out. And you know, we've got guys like Arch Manning, Trev, that folks thought was a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. And now you've got other guys like Tide, Alabama, who have the last 2 weeks had unbelievable numbers, and he has thrown himself into the fray. But right now, you know, a Heisman voter told me years ago, Trav, he said, you know, I really don't even start looking at this stuff seriously until like November. Until you've got several games under your belt. And I look at that now and realize how smart that is.
Yeah, you don't have to be in a hurry. That's for sure. Especially in an era where you get to go through the conference championship games even before you submit that final ballot. Speaking of Ty Simpson fans, Chad Shoemake here in the live show chat chiming in. Good evening, guys, he says, while offering up a hearty Roll Tide. Thanks for tuning in, Chad. Yeah, we really appreciate absolutely. It. And each and every one of you that do that on a weekly basis, if you have any thoughts, any comments, any questions, suggestions to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the suggestion box here for the show, you know, it's kind of a small one, but no, in all seriousness, we sincerely love hearing from you on a weekly basis. Indeed. But yeah, Brent, it is the quarterback room where the SEC is concerned. Feels like it's been sort of turned upside down. You mentioned Ty Simpson. Gunnar Stockton was heroic on Saturday in that win over Tennessee for the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to get Simpson and Stockton in what feels like maybe an early and elimination type game for first team all SEC, maybe as we get down the stretch. John Mateer of Oklahoma has been what they hoped, I think, he would be. But elsewhere around the league,
Diego Trail.
Well, I mean, I don't even bring Diego up. I mean, we've been talking about Diego on this show for about 3 years now. So, you know, I mean, Diego, obviously. But Lenore Sellers, and as you said, Arch and DJ Lagway. Mm-hmm. And an extent, Garrett Nussmeier. And as we've learned from, I guess, Brian Kelly, he's been playing through some stuff. He's actually shown you a good bit of grit, it sounds like. So it's a combination of things, right? It is ineffective play in some corners, like with Arch. But then you've got some health issues with guys like Sellers now. And, you know, also even DJ Lagway, I don't think you can entirely shake it because he's been ineffective, but I think it's been due in large part because he hasn't had an extended run of good health dating back to last season.
No, he
going
hasn't.
Into this season.
Now, and how about the newbies like Joey Aguilar at Tennessee, who have been look, I wouldn't say he's been great, but at the same time, the level of quarterback play Tennessee is a whole heck of a lot better than it was last year in the draft.
It is better. And, you know, that loss to Georgia on Saturday, boy, red hot to open that game. Boy, Josh Heupel on script, when they're in tune and rocking like that, very difficult to deal with. But, man, give the Georgia Bulldogs a ton of credit. They have got that championship fiber to them now.
They do.
We talked about the difference between teams and programs here on the show. And that's the difference between a good team every 3 or 4 years, like you'll see with a lot of places, and a program that year in and year out. It's not just talent either. No. Somehow Kirby's managed to sort of maintain and or sustain that dynamic that he implemented upon arrival there in Athens. Even with the portal, even with comings and goings, they're still a very, very resilient bunch. And again, it doesn't hurt when you're loaded up on your roster, but we've seen teams around college football with similar rosters not be able to hold it together in the middle of a storm like Georgia found itself in Knoxville on Saturday.
And listen, Trav, I will say even a guy like Talen Green of Arkansas with Notre Dame coming up at Tennessee, A&M, Auburn, at LSU, at Texas, a guy like that. Now, look, he doesn't have – does he have the best players around him? No, but with the schedule we just mentioned, and they end the season with Missouri, tell you what, if he played well, he could get some looks. May not be first team all SEC, but you know, that's a guy who could be second or third team, and that still means something, frankly.
And he showed signs of it last year. The thing with Talen Green last year, and give Bobby Petrino a lot of credit for this too. If you want to develop a quarterback and put an offense around a guy based on his skill set and his strengths, Bobby Petrino would still be that guy. And I'm talking about any level of football, not just college football. Professional football. But Green last year, it was the catastrophic type of mistakes that were always right around the corner.
Right.
He would flash and blow you away with a lot of things. And then there would just be like there was against Oklahoma State on the road last year where they had no business losing that game. No. We'll talk about Arkansas in relation to that Ole Miss game over the weekend too.
Yeah.
That one was pretty classical in its own right, Brent. Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say Bo Pribula in Missouri has really shown a lot. And look, I know when I get this stuff like you do too. Well, you know, has Missouri played anybody? Well, you know, that's questionable, but that's going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And right now Bo is playing almost as well as any man in the conference, is he not?
He really is. And, you know, they've got a quarterback injury, so they got to be careful with that.
They do.
With Sam Horn out. But he has coming in from Penn State, like Mateer coming in from Washington State. The transfer quarterbacks, Jackson Arnold, has been what Auburn needs to this point. Doing it again with his legs over the weekend, last weekend in the win over South Owl for the Auburn Tigers. So what we'll do is we typically do in season here on Second Helping. We'll go ahead and start to look ahead to the upcoming week's games. And in the process, we'll review while we preview. And what we'll do is we'll start this Saturday, and you mentioned it for Arkansas. This is a tough kind of sandwich here, and I don't know if enough people are probably going to talk about it. But with Memphis on the road, sandwiched between the road trip to Ole Miss and then the home game coming up the next weekend against Notre Dame, this is a dangerous spot for Sam Pittman's team. And if you really are a guy like Talen Green and you really are of that type of quality, this is where maybe intangibly you find out as much about Talen Green as you do the physical attributes and the talent and what we've seen from him from that perspective. Well, I'll say this. Ryan Silverfield's done a nice job with Memphis.
Sure
the Duval native, Ryan Silverfield of Jacksonville, Florida, attended the Bulls school down in Jacksonville. He's taken that thing over from Mike Norvell after Norvell left for Florida State, and they've really pretty much maintained it and not seen a significant drop-off in making that change. Memphis comes in 3-0. Arkansas at 2-1. What's your concern level in this one for Sam Pittman's team, Brent?
Well, if they're looking ahead to Notre Dame, I think there is a tremendous amount. But as Pittman said in his remarks on Monday, he gave a generality here, but I think we get the point. He said Memphis is like 24-5 in their last 29 games which certainly says a lot. Memphis beat Troy last week, 28-7. But the thing that really caught my eye, you mentioned Green. And listen, I had to look at this two or three times. Green became the first player in Arkansas history with 300-plus passing, 100 yards rushing, 6'6", senior, 305, and a touchdown and 115 yards rushing. And Trav, they frankly came within an eyelash of beating Ole Miss.
Should have, probably. I mean, they had the ball down inside the 30 under 2 minutes. It was feeling like that Arkansas-Ole Miss game from about 10 years ago where you had the crazy fumble play. I think Hunter Henry was involved with that. Alex Collins, the late running back. It was crazy how that game finished in Oxford about a decade ago. I was getting those type of vibes, but unfortunately for Sam Pittman, an ending in a game like that that seems all too familiar to that fan base. So yeah, they better show up to the Liberty Bowl on Saturday, where I believe they won a bowl game at the end of last season. So maybe some good vibes to be taken from that. But yeah, I mean, Taylen Green's one of a couple quarterbacks in this league that not only obviously leads his team in passing, but leads Arkansas in rushing too. So you know, that's going to be a big part of this game, how Memphis can go about dealing with that dual threat ability of Taylen Green. And what does Arkansas have in the tank after that loss at Ole Miss last week, knowing Notre Dame is coming up a week from Saturday? As we keep it moving here for the upcoming Saturday, UAB, talk about a team you wonder how much is in the tank. Tennessee, after that overtime loss at home to the Georgia Bulldogs in a classic last Saturday.
Man,
I think the Vols are going to be okay, though, because this isn't Bill Clark's UAB.
Yeah.
This is Trent Dilfer's UAB. And whereas the record looks okay at 2-1, I guess, this isn't a very, very good group coming up. 65 and our guest cutting over 59 to Chattanooga and Knoxville from Birmingham.
And UAB's allowed 36 points per game to Alabama State, Navy, and Akron. That's pretty rough, to say the least. Amazing Tennessee, 35-2 over the last 10 years when scoring 40 points plus. Mm-hmm. And still lose to Georgia. Trav, there's something not only with the rivalry between those two, and Georgia has owned this rivalry. Frankly, Josh Heupel now 26-5 at Neyland, but 0-3 against the Dogs. Dogs love that, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was setting up kind of like the one that put the end to the Alabama streak with the Georgia finish last Saturday. You had the ball on the foot of the kicker, but this time heading in that same direction, I believe. It did not split the uprights. Georgia came down to a couple explosive runs, really, or one explosive run in overtime. Georgia was able to position itself to go ahead and win that football game in Knoxville. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee – how about this for a familiar name anyway, quarterbacking UAB in this game, Jalen Kitna, previously of the Florida Gators before he had his issues in Gainesville. He has resurfaced at UAB. He leads the Blazers through three games with nearly 900 passing yards. Joey Aguilar for Tennessee with 906 passing yards. And this comes at a good spot for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. After what they endured in that loss to Georgia over the weekend. What about 3:30 Eastern? Another gas tank kind of game here, Brent, because similar to how we talked about this with Arkansas going to Memphis, Ole Miss doesn't have to go on the road, but it's going to get a pretty good Tulane team.
Man.
With LSU on the horizon for Ole Miss, by the way. So sandwiched between Arkansas and LSU. Questions about Austin Simmons. I guess Lane today said he expects Austin Simmons to play, but hey, never a bad thing to have a capable backup, and it looks like the Rebels have that too.
I tell you what, we don't talk about that enough in this league, but Trinidad Chambliss came off the bench and was tremendous. So, I mean, they've got to have confidence right now in whoever it might be, which is amazing. Now, Simmons has already been announced to be the quarterback, and in Lane's, and I get it, you know, just because you get hurt doesn't mean you lose. But I mean, Chambliss now the fourth Ole Miss player with 350 passing yards and two rushing yards. So, boy, they've got to really feel good about it. If something happens to Simmons, they could put him in. But Trav, you know, this team you've talked about for a while, people cannot sleep on Tulane by any stretch of the imagination, and I think. And we've already heard this to some degree. By the way, Jake Ratliff, Tulane senior quarterback, rushed for 111 yards, 15 to 23 for 245 in a big win over Duke. So they are quite capable. But this question deserves to be asked. Will both these coaches be in their current schools this time next year, Travis?
It's a good question. Retzlaff of Tulane, you know, the transfer portal giveth and the transfer portal taketh away. Tulane beat Mensa, its previous quarterback, now of Duke, last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, he goes to Duke for the big payday. Retzlaff is exiled. Or decides to leave BYU after he had some issues out there that are pretty well documented, lands at Tulane and been very good for the Green Wave to this point. So an interesting matchup for Ole Miss again with LSU coming up a week from Saturday. That game in Oxford. So yes. Ole Miss on a pretty nice little homestand right now there at Vaught-Hemingway. Also at 3:30. Eastern on Saturday, this game on ABC, Tulane Ole Miss, 3:30 on ESPN. But Jackson Arnold going back.
Oh, man.
Norman, how about that? Boy, these games don't, you know, a couple of years ago, this seemed like, wow, you know, this is crazy. I mean, we just talked about Duke and Tulane last weekend with a quarterback going back to his previous team to play. And that's what Jackson Arnold's going to do. Jackson Arnold, the change of scenery has been good for him, and same can be said for Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer, too. Mateer, through three games, has thrown for 944 yards. He's done a nice job on the ground. Jackson Arnold, similar in that regard, in that even against South Alabama last week, when you talk about red zone or goal-to-goal situations, pretty clear, especially with the running back situation at Auburn being what it is right now, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Arnold's going to be a guy that Hugh Freeze leans on to get the ball into the end zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, Arnold has taken six sacks through three games.
Yeah.
That's got to be tightened up, to say the least. But, yeah, this would be a huge win for Auburn if they could get it. Hugh Freeze has pointed out this week that Auburn's offense scored on five of their first six possessions, which helps you in anything, but they've got a big injury concern. Edge, Amaris Williams, they're not quite sure what he's going to be doing and how that's going to work. Frankly, OU, this no surprise, frankly, defensively, number four in the nation, and scoring in total defense that blew out Temple. So Trav, I'm with you. This is one of the games on Saturday that people have to watch.
Oh, no doubt. SEC play, a couple of teams that are feeling better about themselves after subpar campaigns a year ago. Kind of the running backs in this game I'm interested to see. You know, Torrey Blaylock, I think Blaylock last week had a big game for Oklahoma at Temple. Jeremiah Cobb has 314 rushing yards for Auburn coming into this. And then off of that, Cam Coleman for Auburn. You know, we kind of asked this question about Jackson Arnold and this offense, and can they maximize the the weapons that they have around him, specifically more so on the outside. I know Coleman kind of got that South Al game going last Saturday with a touchdown catch, but you know, through three games, he's sitting here with 149 receiving yards. You kind of think there's going to be more to come from a talented player like Cam Coleman. 4:15 Eastern on SEC Network Saturday. The Huskies of Northern Illinois, Brent, at 1-1, going to travel to Starkville to take on the unbeaten, unblemished Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah.
3-0 Mississippi State with a stress-free Saturday hosting FCS Alcorn State. And, you know, going to step back up. A year ago, NIU did go in to South Bend and beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So I wouldn't expect that to be the case. And, you know, you look at Northern Illinois at 1-1. Well, the one loss, I think, was last Saturday to Maryland. And it was like a 20-9 game. So it wasn't like they were embarrassed in that situation. For Mississippi State, though, you're thinking this is a game where we prove we're not last year. This is another week where we get to prove we're not that team from a year ago. And it helps because at this time last year, you didn't have Blake Shapen healthy like you do right now.
They are 3-0 for the first time since 2018. so it has been a while. Northern Illinois has upset some teams. No question about that. But Trav, Miss State really needs to win this game. Afterwards, Tennessee at A&M at Florida.
Gets real.
Texas at Arkansas, Georgia, and at Missouri, and then Ole Miss. Oh, my Lord.
gotta win this one and find two more.
That's right.
Win this one, find two more, get to six somehow, you know.
And that'd be that would be a humongous achievement for them, would it not?
Nothing wrong with that. You know, and that's going to be the question, though, for Mississippi State. These three wins are nice, but Jeff Lebby's still looking for his first SEC win.
Yes, he is.
And when you run it down like you did with what's coming, it's still going to be tough for this team, especially if Shapen isn't able to stay on the field. 7:00 on Saturday night on ESPN, you're going to have a beleaguered bunch of Gamecocks from South Carolina, from COLA, headed to Como to take on the 23rd-ranked Missouri Tigers. A lot of questions about Lenore Sellers. Reportedly sustained a concussion late in the first half of that disappointing loss to the Vanderbilt Commodores last Saturday night at Williams-Brice. 31-7, Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
And the Doors go in there and slam one on South Carolina. And, you know, you can talk about Sellers leaving the game, but I think even when he left the game, Vanderbilt was up 14-7.
They were.
So it wasn't a situation where Lenoris and the South Carolina offense were rolling and then they lose him and they got to go to Luke Doty. And that's why South Carolina fans aren't quick to buy that sort of narrative. And that's why Mike Shula, offensive coordinator for South Carolina, is kind of feeling it right now. The former Alabama quarterback and head coach.
Yeah. No, Missouri, a 13-point favorite, by the way, in the game. Now, what we're hearing, I'm curious if you're hearing the same thing, is that Sellers has been practicing and is planning on playing. So, I mean, they certainly need him, to say the least. But, man alive, and you've got Missouri in there, and we mentioned Bo Pribula a few minutes ago. 30-39, 334, and 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Lord, what a time that he's having right now, frankly. And Trav, how about this kid Ahmad Hardy, leading the SEC in rushing, has like 358 yards after contact. That's not total yards. That's what he's got after contact.
I think he had 250 last week, right, against Louisiana?
Yeah.
462 through three games for Ahmad Hardy.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's so many questions, not just about Sellers, even if Sellers plays.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like South Carolina, other than Lenore Sellers, can really run the football.
No, no.
And that's not a good place to be. I don't care how much upside, how much pro potential a guy like Lenore Sellers has. Nick Harbor is an impressive guy to look at the wide receiver position. But again, Mike Shula in that offense going to have to take it up a notch or 12.
Yeah.
To keep South Carolina for perhaps taking a pretty good one from Missouri on Saturday night in Como. The Mayor's Cup, I believe they call that one, right? Mm-hmm. The two Columbias getting on an annual basis. Also, ESPNU in primetime on Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern to be exact. The Vanderbilt Commodores looking for revenge. Now, this sounds like the Vandy that most people know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vandy trying to get revenge on Georgia State.
No, really?
Lost to Georgia State in Atlanta. You know, Georgia State plays in the old Braves, Turner Field, as it was known, the old Braves ballpark right there near downtown Atlanta. And Vanderbilt fell victim to the Panthers at Georgia State on the road a year ago. So that's been a big part of the narrative. And Vanderbilt, kind of like Ole Miss, kind of like Arkansas, trying to make sure it takes care of business between a big win on the road over South Carolina and before things sort of crank back up again.
Travis, how about Georgia State's quarterback, T.J. Finley, who is on his sixth school now, Trav? Sixth school. Oh, Lord. And now he says he really doesn't want to come back, but Diego Pavia's attorney has
Diego's talking about a seventh year. Did I see that right?
Well, you know, his attorney is talking about a seventh year, but Diego may be at the point where he kind of wants to move on, but you know, we never know what guys may do until they finish.
Where's Diego going? I love Diego. Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Where's Diego going? I mean, he's a mini Tebow. And we know what Maxi Tebow did in the NFL. So I love Diego, but he ain't going nowhere.
No.
He's not going to get the money anywhere else that he's getting right now. And I know it's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing Vandy ponied up as well as could be expected to keep him. But a seventh year, and I love Diego, but I'm about over these guys that are 37 years old.
Yeah, really.
Still playing college football.
Well, you know,
they have leagues for those guys. It's called the UFL.
Yeah, you know, really.
Arena ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Trev, if he wants to play and pushes it, the way the NCAA is right now, that they would allow him to come back.
All over.
And listen, I'm being a little facetious here, but I'm really not. I mean, Trev, if he comes back for a seventh year, where does Diego land in the legend of Vanderbilt quarterbacks?
Well, I think Shane Matthews in that instance comes back to Florida for another year.
Yeah.
I think Todd Ellis comes back to South Carolina.
Probably. Yeah.
Clint Sterner, you know, comes back to Arkansas. Freddie Kitchens back at Alabama. I mean, why not? Reggie Slack, what's he up to? Auburn would probably like another year of him.
Sure.
It's wild, man, with all this this eligibility. But you like Vanderbilt's chances at home. Diego is thrown for 645, and it hadn't been fluky these last couple of games. I mean, Vanderbilt, in all seriousness, has been clearly the better football. I mean, they basically got a coaching transition going at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
2 weekends ago that carried over to Tech into a loss to Old Dominion. So that job's open now. It's kind of a fire your coach tour for Vanderbilt out there right now. Also in primetime on Saturday night, this one down in South Florida on ABC, the stumbling, not the fighting, the stumbling Florida Gators at this point, 1-2. Coming off their SEC opening loss to LSU, where DJ Lagway, there's not much to say about that performance. Yeah. He wasn't great against South Florida, but he was benchable bad against LSU. And I know you got, what, a true freshman, I guess, is sitting behind him at Florida. I know you got a lot literally invested in DJ Lagway as your quarterback. But, man, after about the third or fourth pick, and considering how they were consistently being put in harm's way, at some point, I know Billy Napier's employment is very much on the line. Maybe that's already sailed, as a matter of fact. But I got to let him watch a series at some point. It's been a 180 for DJ Lagway in terms of what people expected. But, again, maybe it shouldn't have been as much because – there were so many questions right up into and in fall camp about his health. It's just a continuing situation for him. And now I think we've really seen it, just kind of affect his performance.
Trey, before the game, one of the trainers was helping him put on his jersey.
Yeah.
And every move he made to put on his jersey, he was wincing.
Probably that shoulder,
Yeah. Yeah, so, you really wonder how badly he is hurt. Listen, to your point, they would have probably done better by just putting Jaden Baugh in a Wildcat type thing and let him run. Now, they're supposed to have Dallas Wilson, the wide receiver, back. I don't know if he's doing much this week, but practicing next week. And then if it's not bad enough, Jabbar Julick, one of the assistant coaches, he gets into it with LSU. And look, I know how smart you are. I know you caught this, but Trav, he was suspended by the school and the SEC.
Yeah, that was kind of a no-brainer after the footage surfaced of that whole situation. And it looked like the players were actually doing a better job of staying above it. And he was.
Yeah, really.
He was more in it than the players were. But it is Miami on the road for Florida this week. The fourth-ranked Hurricanes with Carson Beck at quarterback. A familiar face on the other side for this Florida defense. I know there's questions now, about Caleb Banks, the star defensive lineman, and his health for Florida. So it does feel like when it rains, it pours type of situation. Vernell Brown III has been great. Ball, I think, has been fine. He's rushed for like 243 in three games. But until they and if they can get Lagway kind of on a road to somewhat like what we saw a year ago, and he wasn't a high percentage guy last year.
Yeah, true.
So this isn't going to be a 75-80% completion guy. But run the football and then have him take care of the football and then make use of these guys like Brown and the Wilsons and, those kind of guys at the wide receiver position. Just not a good spot. But I think this could be very similar to LSU last Saturday night. Yeah. I think Florida still has good enough people across the roster that it goes into the fourth quarter. And, once you sort of get that grime of losing on you like Florida has, boy, it can be tough, tough, tough to get off. And typically you don't get it off of you against a top five team on the road.
No. And this is a very iffy game for Florida. You mentioned back a few minutes ago who really is playing well. And look, this Miami team is frankly doing the same. Now, Trav, and I know Miami has trouble filling that stadium. I don't think that will be an issue Saturday.
Well, you say that, but what are the Florida fans feeling like right now?
Well, I agree. That's true.
I mean, I know some Florida fans, they're not as keen on even going 5 hours right now.
No, they're not.
To watch this team. I can't blame them.
And Trav, people may not realize this, but Fowler and Herbstreit are doing this game.
Yeah, it's the college game day
stop
this week. I know they got some blowback, apparently, but that's the stop for Reese and the gang this weekend. down there in South Florida. 7:45 Eastern on SEC Network. LSU gets a needed breather after that physical affair against the Florida Gators last Saturday night. It's interesting for me to go through these games, mm-hmm. and I see things like LSU ranked third in the country, and I've watched LSU, and I was impressed by the win at Clemson like everybody else was. But then I see them against Florida where they didn't really win the game as much as they didn't lose it. They kind of let Florida lose it. And there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there isn't. But in terms of eye test right now, I kind of look at a team like LSU and I go, wow, number three in the country. But then I think about other teams around college football right now and I go, who else am I going to put up there? It's that sort of start to the season anyway, not just in the SEC, but around college football. Look at Miami at four. Miami hasn't blown me away. I haven't watched a ton of Miami. I watched Miami against Notre Dame. I thought they were impressive in taking care of their business against a USF team that had knocked off Florida on the road. But this is a game, obviously, for LSU. If Nussmeier's feeling any type of discomfort from a health perspective, you probably don't want to see a bunch of him in this game because do go to Ole Miss a week from Saturday. Load up with those backs, get Caden Durham what he needs at the running back position, and Blake Baker in that defense. As much as anything, man, that has been a top three situation.
Yeah,
maybe a number one for LSU. And year two under Blake Baker, that defense is the real deal.
I would say Blake Baker's the best move they've made in years, frankly. Mm-hmm. They have not been great defensively. We all know that. 2 years ago, they were abysmal. Frankly, that they've had a quarterback to bail them out, which makes a difference. Harold Perkins, Jacoby Guillory, both guys coming off injuries, but they are playing much better. Little concerned about Nussmeier, but he's a gamer. I give him credit for that. And he's going to play, but yes, much tougher games ahead for the Tigers.
Yep. Paycheck game here for Southeastern Louisiana. Yeah. Also in primetime, you're going to have the streaming going to catch this one. Sam Houston at 0-3, going to take on the Texas Longhorns, ranked 8th in the country. And you talk about eye test and a team, and certainly a quarterback at this point that hasn't really checked that anticipation, that box that we had for Arch Manning, and really this Texas offense in general, it has not happened as of yet, which is alarming in some ways if you're a Texas fan, because even if you knew you were transitioning to Arch Manning full time, you just figure Sark's gonna, make this thing or design this thing, call this thing in a way where it's going to be a lot easier for this offense as a whole. But, Arch Manning is Texas's leading rusher through three games, and he only has 112 rushing yards. So CJ Baxter went out against UTSA last Saturday with a hamstring, right, from the running back position. Trey Wisner didn't play against UTSA last Saturday. So, they've got some things to figure out, not just with Arch Manning, but with some key pieces around him.
Tell you what, people may miss this, but Manning actually got booed in the third quarter of the UTEP game. He had a streak of 10 consecutive incompletions.
Yeah.
Trav, footwork, arm positions. I tell you, and hopefully he'll be okay, but there's just so much to work on at this point. I think Sark understands the pressure that he is on, but, and listen, they've got a big game at Florida coming up, in a couple weeks. I'm not saying the wheels will come off then, but. But man, that's going to be, you may have two very disgruntled teams in Gainesville coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, for Texas, you're going to be 3-1 going to Gainesville because you get Sam Houston this week, then you get the bye week, which might come at a perfect time for Texas
really
to kind of get Arch going the way he needs to go before you take him back on the road, because the last time you took him on the road to Ohio State, that obviously wasn't a desired result.
Yeah.
So absolutely. They're going to roll Sam Houston Saturday, but I think Texas and Alabama are similar, not so much in terms of quarterback play right now, because Ty Simpson's lighting it up for Alabama. But Texas fans are basically going to be of the mindset of, okay, check back with us after the road trip to Florida.
Yeah.
Right. Really. And Alabama fans, a portion of that fan base after that performance, that loss at Florida State to open the season, has basically taken the stance of check back with me after Georgia on September the 27th, which, by the way, that takes us into Georgia, Alabama, among the teams on bye weeks this Saturday, setting up that huge, huge showdown. I think I saw Georgia installed early as maybe a four-point favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a lot.
It's not at all. No, no.
For a team like Georgia that has a win like Tennessee on the road in its back pocket. And so, obviously, next week we will spend a lot of time previewing Alabama and Georgia, that primetime matchup. We got Bama fans here in the chat. Boy, these fans, they're ruthless, Brent. Ant Hunter.
Yeah.
He's a Bama fan. Either any chance Bama picks up a DL from Virginia Tech or UCLA? Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
Picking over the bones.
Yeah.
Blacksburg.
Yeah.
And Westwood. Hey, you know, if they did have those kind of guys, Lance, their coaches probably would have made it past week three.
Yeah, they really would have. That's very true. Yeah.
Wow. These fans, they stay ready. And we talked about this, mentioned this a little bit too, about the portal news kind of coming to fruition. Right, Brent?
Yeah. If people have not heard, there were a lot of legislation. And this is kind of by now, the NCAA Administrative Committee has scheduled the vote. They voted and they have agreed to have only one portal window, and that would be in January. Now, I still don't think, Travis, what I understand, they have, I know they proposed it for January 2 through 11. I'm not sure yet that has happened, but the vote went through. And they're basically just down to one, which frankly may save spring practice. I know spring practice is spring practice, but it's still interesting to see. So this is one we will follow very very closely to kind of
see. When you say save spring practice, do you mean that there was going to be an alternative to spring practice?
Maybe.
And that, like OTAs or things like that you see in the NFL, maybe even more of a format in line with the NFL than what we've seen traditionally in college football.
Well, and you know, the truth of the matter is, if they go that way, and that's a big if, I mean, it would spread it out a little bit. It would give fans, chances to go and see a little bit more of practice. So there's a lot yet to be determined about this, but I just thought it was significant, Trav, that they're basically down to a single transfer portal window, and it's not going to be in the spring.
Yeah, it may save spring football games.
Yes.
You know, as much, and, you know, we've talked about that here on the channel, these coaches talking about worried about getting poached and, you know, like other schools don't know your roster already. It's whatever. But anyway, there could be certainly a lot of positives that come from that change in relation to what we've seen, which has been chaos, basically.
Well, and listen, let me add this to it. And I think this is extremely important. The committee also adopted the move to make December, and Trav, have we ever seen this or seen it in a while, to make December a dead period?
Interesting.
And
portions of December have been, but
yeah,
the whole month? I don't know. Maybe it has been. Yeah, there's dead, there's quiet, there's the different designations.
Yeah, but this would be a dead period they can finish off high school and they take finals. College teams can play in bowl games and playoffs before visits start taking place again. I think there's some wisdom in that.
We'll see. That's not a word that's often associated
with
the governing body
of
collegiate athletics. Hey, Brent, it's always a lot of fun with you here on the channel. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube out there, we hope you'll take the time to do that. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops on Ryer on YouTube. Thumbs up would help us out. And our guy Tex Tider chiming in. He always helps us with that. There he is. Thanks, Tex. And we appreciate everybody else who tuned in live tonight. The show archives on Ryer on YouTube and also is available in podcast form. So if you'd rather listen than watch, we got you covered. Or you want to listen to the replay, we've got you covered at iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, any of those. You're going to find the podcast format for Second Helping. Brent, anything else before we get out of here?
One more thing, and this comes from Brian Fisher, an SEC football czar, Trav. He's saying the SEC is searching for a football czar. League office is set to add a new associate commissioner for football under Greg Sankey. Now, I certainly want to hear more about that. That's pretty.
Florida fans right now are nominating Billy Napier.
They are. Yes, no question.
Write-in candidate. Billy Napier.
And Trav, the question has to be asked. I'm guessing Pumps is not real smug and real content with where his football team is, right?
He's very careful about going all in with the Gators. Yeah. And so he was kind of taking that tepid wait-and-see approach, especially with Lagway. You know, he said this before the season. He loves Lagway. He just doesn't trust that, you know, he can stay healthy and or effective for an extended stretch. So Pops has actually been in Europe. He and Nana went over to Vienna, went to Austria. And I think he's just getting back. So I got to check in with Pops.
But you're saying there were no international incidents. Is that correct?
Well, the thing about Pops, he probably went over there and, you know, went in a restaurant and asked for Vienna sausages and things like that.
Maybe.
That's Pops.
Yeah. And we'll talk about next week. Next week, overall college football.
Oh, wow.
One of the biggest weeks of the year. I know you've seen some of that like I have. Yeah. But man.
big weekend. And certainly in the Southeastern Conference, anytime Georgia and Alabama get together, it's massive. But it isn't the only game.
No.
On that Saturday, as we talked about, you're going to have a big one with LSU and Ole Miss setting up, leading you into Alabama, Georgia in primetime.
Yeah, and we mentioned Auburn A&M is next week too, right?
Yeah. That's a potential. We didn't talk about A&M enough really tonight with that win at Notre Dame. That was an amazing performance down the stretch. And Tyler Buckner, the former Alabama backup quarterback, now back with Notre Dame, went Notre Dame, Bama, back to Notre Dame, played lacrosse at Notre Dame. Yeah. Somehow he's still playing football at Notre Dame.
Somehow.
And he's the holder on that extra point Saturday night in South Bend and botches the hold and give Marcel Reed and that A&M offense a lot of credit. Lost the kickoff return for a touchdown that could have won the game and then still came back and went down there and got the job done. Big win for Mike Elko and the Texas Aggies. All right, Brent. We'll do it again next week, my man. Good.
Look forward to it, bud. Take care.
For Brent Beard, I'm Travis Ryer. Thank you all for tuning in here live. And until next time, so long, everybody.